Chapter 7, Not Negotiating. I hope that you're convinced by now that you shouldn't try to sell your home yourself. In this chapter, I also hope to convince you that your agent needs to be a great negotiator. Whatever your preconceived notions are about agents, please don't assume that they're all good negotiators. The best way to find out if you're hiring the right negotiator is to negotiate fees and terms with your prospective listing agent. The best salespeople are the best negotiators, they're the most successful in this business, and they will probably net you the most money. Typically, the seller hires a seller's agent, or called a listing agent, and that agent splits that commission between the seller's office and the buyer's agent's brokerage, usually by offering a cooperating buyer's commission on the MLS. Commission rates vary among different regions and circumstances. They are not set by law, and they are negotiable. Due to United States antitrust laws, I unfortunately cannot give you real-world numbers. I wouldn't want anyone to think I was price-fixing or trying to influence the marketplace. Often, sellers base their hiring decision on how low of a commission they can negotiate. It stands to reason that this is a great way to save money. I would argue that if that's how you make your decision on an agent, then there's a very good chance you're about to lose thousands or tens of thousands of dollars or even more. I say this because you probably didn't hire a good negotiator. I'm sure it feels good to push around your agent, but if you can push your agent around, then so can everyone else. Hopefully your agent is going to be a better negotiator than you, right? The best way to figure out if you're hiring the right negotiator is to negotiate with them. The quality of the words that come out of your agent's mouth is in direct proportion to their success and to yours. If you're like most sellers, you want to walk away with the most money possible. As you go through the interview process, I want you to keep something in mind. You are probably thinking that if you can find an agent who is willing to work for less, that would be a good thing. When an agent tells you what their fee is, they're telling you something very important about themselves. They're telling you what kind of a negotiator they are. You have to decide whether you want a strong negotiator representing you, a safe negotiator representing you, or a weak negotiator representing you. The higher the fee, the higher the chances that you found a skilled negotiator. If they're charging a slight discount, then that's someone who plays it safe, and they're going to give your money away at the end. If they give you a big discount, then you're dealing with someone very new or very weak, and that agent likely gives even more money away to get a deal done. How can you expect someone to stand up for you and fight for every last dollar when they can't stand up for themselves? The fact is, negotiating a commission will usually net you more money than getting a discount broker to handle your sale, as long as you don't make other typical seller mistakes. Discount brokerages. Do you shop for a surgeon, a lawyer, a general contractor, or your kid's tutor primarily on price? Would it bother you if the first thing they said, without even asking, was, "I'm going to give you a discount"? Do successful people really need to offer discounts? If they do, then don't they have to make it up with volume? That's appealing to an agent. But if they get a lot of repeat business, and assuming it's for providing great service and getting great results, would they still need to offer discounts? If the discount brokerage model works, wouldn't the majority of sellers use them? Wouldn't commission rates be going down substantially? The fact is they aren't, and discount brokers don't get much repeat business. Even in real estate, you get what you pay for. It's my opinion that most people hire discount brokers because they think it doesn't matter who you hire, the result will be the same. If that's the way you feel at this point in the book, please email me at mike@michaelbbell.com for a full refund on this book. If you've tried to sell your home using a discount brokerage, did you notice how badly they want to do open houses? That's because discount brokers need to maximize their efforts. All of them, yes, all of them, use open houses for three reasons. First, it sounds great when they tell you they're going to do an open house until it sells. Second, the discount brokerage model isn't geared towards service by taking care of showings at a moment's notice. A discount broker will rarely offer to take a buyer through a loan. They'll suggest viewing a home at an upcoming open house. Push them to the open house. That's the industry jargon. Finally, It's an opportunity for the discount brokers to snag buyers, to double into sale, to make up for the discounted commission. Chapter 9 is all about open houses, so keep listening. For some sellers, the primary reason for hiring an agent is the discounted commission. I'm not saying you can't save some cash during a home sale. However, all too often, saving money on the front side means losing money at the end. You can always find a discount broker for anything. These agents are everywhere. So are discounted lawyers, doctors, tax preparers, eye doctors, and pharmacists. Is real estate service really something to skimp on? Discount brokerages that offer low commission rates in large letters on their online ads seem appealing, and they have a ton of Wall Street money behind them. The logic behind moving to online discount brokerages was to grab a massive listing market share and use that as leverage to generate a much larger pool of buyers for their agents. Even small boutique offices will list high-end properties at ridiculously low commission rates so they can use them for self-promotion. These are called loss leaders, and most small companies need to do this to compete. You might think that these brokers are the way to go. However, they haven't proven to be big disruptors in the industry. Why not? Why do so many of them fold? Why don't they get a lot of repeat and referral business? If they did, then there would be a tectonic shift in the industry, and we haven't seen it. The fact is, internet brokerages do not handle the majority of home sales in the United States. The largest discount brokerage company happens to be publicly traded, and they don't even have salespeople on commission. Their agents are employees. I don't have anything against having a job. The fact is, if you can't make it as an agent in sales, then you go get a salaried, usually lower-paying job. It's harsh but true. Do you want a successful salesperson, a real real estate agent, negotiating for you, or someone who didn't make it in sales? If you've ever hired a discount broker, then you've probably experienced a level of service that didn't thrill you. Your agent is likely on a team. When you call the firm, it's likely that you'll be talking to a salaried team member, and if the person on the phone can't handle the conversation, then you get transferred to someone else. Guess what? An inquiring buyer for your home or buyer's agent will experience the same frustration. Commissions can be challenging to negotiate, and to an inexperienced seller, commissions seem like lots of money. If you search hard, you might find someone willing to represent you for a few $100. But beware, you get what you pay for. Larger, more established brokerages have a large array of marketing services they provide. If these services are not interesting to you, for whatever reason, then you may want to work with smaller brokerages that will provide fewer services and lots of open houses. They have fewer expenses, provide less marketing reach, and they tend to discount their commissions. So why have the average real estate commissions in the United States barely decreased since the online brokers busted into the industry in the 1990s? And with all the technological advances available, why have an agent and pay a commission at all? Over the last two real estate cycles, basically when the market goes up, then back down, commission rates went slightly down as values went up because there were more agents flooding into the market and they undercut themselves. The flip side is true. An example was during the Great Recession after 2007 when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac actually stipulated that higher commissions be paid to agents. Banks were trying to cut commissions on their short sales and foreclosures. Even the government realized that sellers get what they pay for. Negotiate the commission with your agent. A Consumer Reports survey of thousands of readers who sold a property found that among the 46% of sellers who asked for a reduction in the agent's commission, 71% were successful. How much respect did those agents lose at that point? A third of all agents were out-negotiated by their own clients. Once offers come in, how do you think the negotiations on price and other concessions were handled? Hello? According to NAR's 2021 Home Buyer and Seller Generational Trends Survey, 44% of real estate agents initiated the discussion of commission. What? Shouldn't the seller initiate that discussion? Who's supposed to be the professional negotiator? How would you feel if your agent negotiated the price of your home before the buyer asked if it was negotiable? Well, that might be happening 44% of the time. Keep your eyes and your ears open during the commission negotiation process. This is the moment where you'll know whether the agent sitting in front of you is good or great. If the agent is a weak negotiator, you will be able to negotiate their fee down. That agent will probably not negotiate your home sale that much better. You could just hope that agent negotiates better for you when it really matters. Or if the interview reveals an agent's inability to negotiate, you might consider hiring someone else. By the way, picking an agent because they will pay for staging is not a good idea either. High-end home selling. In every luxury marketplace, there are usually a handful of agents who dominate. Reducing their commission is rarely the reason why these agents succeed, however. No, they dominate because they know their marketplace. They are tapped into the right audience, and they know how to negotiate, and they know how to get these properties sold for the best prices. It isn't easy to sell in the higher-end areas. There are fewer available buyers as the price tag goes up, and as that happens, the chance of not selling goes up as well. In addition, there are more expenses involved. The financing tends to be tricky, and often the clients involved are more sophisticated and demanding. In my area, the majority of expired and canceled listings in the top quartile in price are not listed by experienced top agents. These homes don't sell because average agents tend to fumble in the high-end marketplace. These agents also tend to discount their commissions, which can be seen in the MLS. Selling a home at a higher price is just harder. It shouldn't be left to an agent without experience. An experienced agent will negotiate a better selling price or simply walk away from a listing if the seller expectations are too high. A great agent will use everything they've got and then some to make the sale happen. In a higher price market, hiring the right agent is much more important. Somewhat surprisingly, many sellers don't ask about commissions at all. But many agents feel like it's going to be an issue, so they quickly drop their rate. They just offer a discount. Some agents drop their fee when asked something as simple as, "What's your commission?" You might want to consider not hiring an agent that folds that easily. They might blow your sale too. Some time ago, I interviewed to sell a $2 million home in San Marino, California. It's one of the most exclusive neighborhoods in Southern California. Nothing had sold in this neighborhood for under $1 million in the past 10 years. I was the third agent interviewed. The seller, let's call him Wayne, was a real estate litigator. And during the interview, Wayne told me he sues agents for a living. I think he actually snickered when he said that. As you might guess, that was intimidating. During our conversation, Wayne and his wife asked what commission I charged. I replied with my standard commission rate and told them that I split the commission with the buyer's agent, so the agent is incentivized before looking at the listings with discounted commission offerings. I said I always negotiate my commission the way I negotiate a home sale. What they said next was interesting. Wayne and his wife told me that an hour before I arrived, they interviewed two top agents. They were a two-person team from a competing brokerage. These two agents outsell almost everyone in town. They told Wayne they'd agree to a commission rate 1 percentage point lower than what I was charging. I congratulated the sellers and asked them how they were able to negotiate two top agents down on their commission. Wayne said that the agents simply offered them a discount. There was no negotiation. Wayne and his wife had merely asked what commission percentage they would charge, and the duo offered a discount right out of the gate. I couldn't help but say, "Ouch!" At that moment, Wayne realized what had happened, and his eyes went wide. He told me he didn't like how his agent folded so quickly, and now that he thought about it, he was concerned that this duo would negotiate the sale of his home the same way. Wayne was probably right. Maybe the agent duo assumed they would have to discount the commission because Wayne was an intimidating attorney. The duo knew they would have to compete with multiple agents that Wayne and his wife were interviewing. In defense of my commission rate, I also explained that a slightly higher buyer's agent commission will entice more agents to show their house. It can provide a stronger escrow since the agent wouldn't be enticed to show their clients another home. Wayne and his wife agreed, and they were happy to sign with me. I wound up getting three offers on their home. We actually sold the home over the asking price, which no other top agents believed we could achieve. The home was also what we call a tough house to sell. It was a two-story, 2,500-square-foot house that had only one bathroom downstairs. It was a half bath that was only accessible through the laundry room and a bedroom. Still, the Good Commission made it so much easier. I remember as I was touring the backyard with the buyer's agent who won the contract, she told me she loved the commission. The clients trusted common sense and everyone was happy with the result. Wayne and I became friends and we've seen several baseball games together in his seats at Dodger Stadium. He always buys the Dodger dogs because he says, I made him a lot of money. Commission breath. There's something to be aware of, and it's not necessarily bad breath, though it's almost as bad. In the industry, we call it commission breath. You might smell it when you meet a pushy agent. It's because they want that commission so badly that they're drooling with sales pitches. Don't mistake pushiness with success. The stereotypical agent will be pushy, and a good agent will try to close you. After all, the most successful agents know how to close transactions. Keep in mind there are limits to pushiness, and there should be a good balance. Don't be offended if an agent skillfully tries to close you. After all, you might want to hire an agent who knows how to close a deal. As new agents, we are often reminded that our jobs are as simple as ABC. Always be closing. Young or inexperienced agents will try to close sellers by encouraging them to sign a listing as soon as possible. However, a better agent will just let the seller review the paperwork before signing, ask a lot of questions, and offer a common sense plan of action. The process should be collaborative and designed to get you to your goal, and it should never be under pressure. Always Be Closing was immortalized in the movie Glengarry Glen Ross. Do you remember the scene when actor Alec Baldwin, playing Blake, the heavy-handed new sales manager, who comes into a real estate sales office meeting to tell the salesmen what their jobs are? He tells them that if they don't sell more, they'll be fired. During that scene, Jack Lemmon's character pours himself a cup of coffee at the back of the office and gets yelled at. Put down that coffee. Coffee is for closers only. It's the best real estate quote ever. It's ruthless. At the beginning of the meeting, Baldwin's character flips the chalkboard around to reveal, in big letters, ABC. Baldwin then says it three times, always be closing. As entertaining and stereotypical as that scene is, it isn't the reality of sales meetings today, at least not the hundreds I've been to. Sometimes I wish the Alec Baldwin character was my sales manager. It would scare half the agents out of this business. Today's sales managers are not so rough. Yes, the agent needs to close. That's why we're called salespeople. No, the process doesn't need to be a high-pressure, commission breath fiasco. Sellers should set the pace. Breathing room. Most agents bring paperwork to the first appointment and try to get you to sign on right away. If you're uncomfortable signing, they will encourage you to sign anyway. They will tell you to keep the paperwork at your house overnight, and they'll come by the next day to pick it up. Alternatively, the agent will encourage you to sign it and tell you they will tear it up the next day if you change your mind. These tactics play into the fact that most people don't want to go that far down the track only to stop the train. The agent knows this. These are standard sales tactics that we've been trained in. Unless you are truly desperate, and no one should be when selling a house, you shouldn't sign anything until you're fully informed, totally convinced, and have interviewed at least three agents. A good agent will provide you with their listing paperwork prior to the appointment, or at least leave it with you to review on your own. They won't be pushy. They'll give you room to breathe. When I arrive for an appointment, I tell the owners I'm there to make sure we're a good fit. I give them as much information as possible so they can make the best decision. I tell them I didn't bring the listing paperwork so they can breathe easy. If they really want to sign with me, they can. We can take care of it with my laptop, with digital signatures, or I can email it to them to review. My colleagues think I'm nuts. And they tell me I'm losing out on potential contract signings by being so nice. I don't believe that. I don't think I've ever lost out by not bringing the paperwork. And I've never had a homeowner tell me I wasn't a good salesperson because I didn't bring the listing contract. I only bring my paperwork in the rare instance that someone specifically tells me they want it so they can get the process started as soon as possible. They are usually my repeat customers or strong referrals. How long is your listing contract? Along with negotiating commissions, a very important item that many sellers fail to negotiate is the length of the contract. Most sellers believe that agents want long-term listing contracts. And that's correct. Sellers often believe that no agent will take short-term listings. That's incorrect. A typical agent will tell you their broker requires a 6-month or even 1-year listing. Over the last 20-plus years, I've worked at 3 of the largest brokerages in the United States, and they've all advised agents to ask their seller to sign for as long a term as possible, while also letting them know that they will accept short listings. I've taken 10-day listings. I've taken 2-month listings. I've also taken much longer listings. When you deal with professionals, they'll get the job done. The length of the contract is always negotiable and should be reasonable to both parties. Never let an agent tell you otherwise. Most top agents will work short term. Real professionals will understand and explain to you that if they do everything they've promised, they can always extend the listing contract. Most people don't like to negotiate. That's why they hire someone to do it for them. They don't like how it feels, especially when they're negotiating with the person who is going to negotiate for their home in the future. Some sellers think it will come back to bite them later. It's quite the contrary. I love it when a seller negotiates with me. I respect it. It will almost always uncover the type of sale you'll have. Always ask, always negotiate.